More than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask, and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize?
Our consciousness is affected.
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news brought to you live.
Hi, welcome back to Unfit to Print. This is CKUT on 90.3 FM, broadcasting not live, but still from Montreal. My name is Amy Lloyd.
And I'm Maya Ibbotson.
Today we broadcast from the Kikyake, the traditional territory of Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabe Nations.
Today, we want to hone in on Canadian politics as the race to vaccinate people across the country continues. Our audio essay is looking at differences in vaccine rollout plans province by province and includes an overview of some of the things Quebec and the Legault government is doing right and wrong. We're also going to talk about what's to come in terms of vaccination for the future. This week, we have a new addition to our team, Pilar Steers, who is a U1 student at McGill. She'll be helping us out this semester. Pilar researched and recorded with us, so you'll be hearing a new voice in a short while. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a short break.
Wanna fuck with the arena. Now I'm happy at the pizzeria. Forgetting these worries, that's the idea. Thinking I don't need the guinea, got the keys to the Kia.
Not sponsored.
And it's the color of sunshine. Cruise, just lay back, unwind. I'm feeling in my prime, divine. Funny how I still forget gratitude sometimes. But listen, if you need the flash, man, that's scary. Spending cash on these burdens that you can't carry, that's paperweight. You could chase it to the Ritz, you'll never find something sweeter than a raspberry. All your nice clothes take you to the cleaners. Biting off the top, still a bottom feeder. You're greener than the grass that you think is greener. I'd rather hang back with the real dreamers. I paid a visit to the pack. Trade a mixer for some caps. If we dose, then we do-si-do. No placebo clouds, we don't see those. And no doubt the vino flows free when we go out to see shows. Keep running into all these bros. Could you please lay aside your egos? Appreciate the love, but please don't be passing me your mixtapes, man. I really don't need those. Y'all got more offcuts than Home Depot. Well, not all of you. I'm just not trying to hear demos at the rendezvous. And peace signs to the knockoffs. How I'm dealing with these fakes like a prop shot. And no association with the shock jocks. Nah, no drama, just jaw with the top box.
Baby,
That was Andrew Wang with Summertime Feeling, followed by Twerp with All Night Forever. Now for a weekly headline roundup. In Montreal, high schoolers are planning to return to class soon, and teachers at one school are protesting this by wearing all black. At Westmount High School, teachers showed up to work on Monday wearing all black to, quote, mourn the inevitable deaths that will occur due to the increased transmission caused by school reopenings, unquote. As of January 3rd, the province reported nearly 1,500 active cases across all public and private schools in Quebec, with more than 200 effective schools in Montreal alone. The government's policies for schooling is that more teachers must wear masks and that distance or online learning is available to all, and teachers and staff will have access to the vaccine before the general public. Of course, this doesn't take into account the difficulty of adequate distancing during a period such as recess or lunch hours, or the fact that proper ventilation via open windows is pretty hard to do when the temperatures drop below zero.
November 2020 marks 25 years of the Neskantaga First Nation, which is in the northwestern Ontario area, being on a boil water advisory. In October of 2020, over 250 evacuees were transported from their homes to a hotel in Thunder Bay because, quote unquote, an oily sheen was found in the Neskantaga water reservoir, initially testing results found high levels of hydrocarbons in the drinking water, unquote. As stated by CTV News, quote, water distribution was returned to the Neskantaga First Nation on November 12th, while performance testing of a new water treatment plant is expected to be complete on December 2nd. However, it remains unclear still when exactly the residents of the First Nation will be able to return home and when the 25-year-old boil water advisory will be ultimately lifted, unquote. Considering the somewhat recent events of the Neskantaga First Nation, as well as the fact that they've been on the longest boil water advisory in the country, I think it's important to question why Canada still has 58 long-term drinking water advisories in effect in 40 communities. Trudeau promised to end all boil water advisories on First Nations land by March 2021. However, he is now blaming the pandemic for that delay. It is acknowledged that since 2015, the federal government has helped lift 97 long-term drinking water advisories and 165 short-term advisories. Although that work is great, it is disappointing to hear that the pandemic has delayed this project when people are even at more risk now than ever. Not to say they didn't need clean water before, but it is important to consider that if the pandemic is making things difficult for everyone, not having clean water will exacerbate the effects and impacts of the pandemic for people on reserves with long-term boil advisories. As stated by Autumn Petler, an Anishinaabe Indigenous Clean Water Advocate, quote, because of COVID-19, it's more critical now than ever. This is probably the time the government needs to be acting on this even more effectively. Clean water is needed not only for drinking, but for washing hands, brushing teeth, doing dishes, and cooking. That's simple sanitation. Many First Nation communities do not have access to simple sanitation, unquote. Remote communities are already experiencing a strain on local resources. The boil water advisories add to that. Although this is not necessarily in recent news, as in it occurred last week or so, I do believe it's important to cover and remind people. So to help, you can sign a petition named, quote, let's end long-term drinking water advisories on First Nation reserves across Canada, as well as a petition named, quote, call to action, support Neskantaga First Nation and end long-term drinking water advisories, unquote. These petitions can be found in our resource list on our Instagram bio. Search for unfit_chiprin.
Content warning, this headline contains death. Unfit is heartbroken to report that this Monday, a man was found dead in a chemical toilet at the intersection of Milton and Park. As a McGill-affiliated radio show, this person was a community member who was known to the clients and staff of homeless shelters such as Open Door. As we discussed last week, the houseless population of Montreal needs access to shelters, and the new curfew measures have and will inevitably harm them in the months to come. The decisions made by those in power, i.e. the Montreal municipal government, about how organizations can run and who gets funding have life or death consequences, as clearly observed. Furthermore, after the Public Health Services of Montreal have made beds off limits, the houseless have no options to go during cold nights, which can lead individuals to freeze to death. Shelters such as the Open Door Montreal are being forced to close at 9:30 p.m. every night and force all their clients out after the 8 p.m. curfew. If shelters as such were open, deaths could and would continue to be prevented. UNFIT recommends listeners to do anything they can to hold the Montreal municipal government, specifically Mayor Valerie Plante, accountable for their repressive actions.
Now it is time for our COVID-19 updates of the week. The Quebec police have issued 1,400 tickets regarding curfew violations. As of Monday, Quebec reports 1,634 new cases, and according to the Montreal Gazette, quote, Quebec is no longer adding most cases in Canada, but still has more deaths per capita, unquote. Additionally, the Moderna vaccine arrived in 9 Cree communities this past weekend in Quebec's James Bay region. As stated by the Montreal Gazette, quote, remote Cree communities are especially vulnerable to COVID-19 outbreaks due to overcrowded housing conditions that make isolating difficult, as well as a limited number of local healthcare workers, unquote. Stay safe, folks, and stay inside as much as you can. That was our weekly headline roundup. Now it's time for a few tunes and then our audio essay. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Unfit to Print. That was New Order with Blue Monday, followed by You're the One by Kay Tradonna, featuring Sid.
Now it's time for our audio essay. As mentioned earlier, our audio essay is looking at differences in vaccine rollout plans province by province and an overview of some of the things that the Legault government is doing right and wrong in regards to their vaccine rollout plan. We're also going to talk about what's to come in terms of vaccination and distribution for the future. This week, as we mentioned before, we also have a new addition to our team, Pilar Steers, so you're going to be hearing her voice in this short little audio essay. So here we go.
January 14th, last Thursday, is the 1 month mark since the first round of vaccines were administered in Canada. However, it is reported that it will take much longer for the majority of the population to receive vaccinations. Justin Trudeau ensures that by September, every Canadian citizen that wants a vaccination will receive one. Although this promise sounds like a utopian dream in comparison to our quarantined reality, the details for the overall vaccination plan remains vague. As many know by now, healthcare workers, seniors, and other especially vulnerable populations, including those in long-term care homes, otherwise known as LTCs, will be the first to receive vaccinations. However, these timelines for each demographic vary. In terms of province-by-province vaccination plan, this is what we know so far.
British Columbia, like many other provinces, will be prioritizing vaccines for long-term care residents, staff, essential visitors, people in hospices, healthcare workers, and people in remote as well as isolated First Nations communities. Citizens will be informed of their vaccination status by the public health leaders. No initiative is required. Currently, BC is working on a registration and a record system. Alberta will first prioritize healthcare workers and LTC homes, and then in February, focus on senior citizens, First Nation and Métis folks, both on and not on settlements. Alberta promises to administer 50,000 vaccines every week by the end of January. The government says that they are updating citizens daily on what to expect as well as to do for the vaccine. Proof of vaccination can be found on Netcare and My Health records in the province. Saskatchewan will only be prioritizing healthcare workers and senior citizens. Afterwards, vaccinations will be administered at a larger scale in April. There is no detailed information about how the province is notifying citizens of their turn. However, they will receive a record for their vaccination. Manitoba will prioritize care workers born on or before December 31st, 1975, as well as healthcare workers in COVID wards and testing centers, lab technicians working within COVID labs, home care workers employed by regional health authorities, and correctional facility workers. In January, the province plans to administer 10,000 vaccinations, informing citizens via a government website. However, there has yet to be any information on how Manitobans will receive proof or record of the vaccination.
Ontario has a three-phase distribution plan. According to Global News, phase one will be prioritizing, quote, residents, essential caregivers, and staff of congregate care settings for seniors, healthcare workers, adults in First Nations, Métis, and Inuit populations, and adult recipients of chronic home health care, unquote. Following that, with phase two, the province will focus on older adults over 80 years of age, frontline essential workers, education workers, those in the food process industry, those with high-risk chronic conditions, as well as their caregivers, along with populations who are at greater risk of COVID due to certain health barriers. Lastly, we have phase three, which includes the rest of Ontario. So far, Ontario expects to vaccinate 1.5 million people after phase one is complete, although that date is not specified. By January 21st, so tomorrow, they plan to administer the vaccine to healthcare workers and caregivers in LTCs located in the most affected regions. By February 15th, all nursing homes and high-risk retirement homes will be administered the vaccine. Phase two will hopefully begin sometime around March. Ontario has administration sites for where people can sign up, and they will receive a printed and or electronic receipt of said vaccination. New Brunswick is on par with most of the provinces with the priority of those in LCTs, healthcare workers, and First Nation communities. So far, priority people are being notified by their community leaders and employers. Those who have been vaccinated will receive a record of immunization, which they require to show during their second vaccination. According to Global News, Nova Scotia, quote, plans to vaccinate 86,000 adults over the age of 75 and 7,000 staff involved in the COVID-19 response, as well as family physicians, paramedics, and home care workers by the end of April. Starting in May, the province plans to vaccinate all remaining healthcare workers and essential workers, though it is currently unclear how essential is being defined, unquote. The province hopes to have 75% of its population vaccinated by September 30th. Nova Scotians will be able to access their COVID-19 vaccination record the same they do other vaccines. Newfoundland and Labrador are following the same priority list as the other provinces. Aside from this, there's little information when it comes to notification. Newfoundland and Labrador governmental officials assure the public they will be tracking immunization records. Prince Edward Island is also prioritizing LTC homes, healthcare workers, and Indigenous communities. By the fall, the province hopes to have 80% of the population vaccinated. In regards to notification, all we know is that Islanders will be informed when it is their turn. Vaccine records will be entered into a registry.
Yukon has the same priority list as provinces recently listed above. Yukon aims to vaccinate 75% of its population by March. Granted, Yukon has a much smaller population in comparison to other parts of Canada. The province is employing many ways to notify their residents, including mobile teams, which travel to rural communities. Yukon will have both an electronic health record system and a hard copy vaccination card. Northwest Territories also has the same priority list as provinces recently listed above. Northwest Territories plans to have 75% of its eligible adult residents immunized by March with an online community notification that will inform its citizens when it is their chance to get vaccinated. Like Yukon, the province also plans to have a printed and electronic record of one's vaccination. Nunavut is following the same protocol in regards to priority citizens like the other provinces. According to Global News, quote, by the end of March 2021, the GN, or Government of Nunavut, expects enough vaccines for 75% of Nunavummiut over the age of 18, unquote. The province will notify its citizens via social media, community radio shows, press conferences, and PSAs. Nunavut already has a vaccination card system in place where citizens can record their Moderna vaccine.
Lastly, Quebec, as stated by Global News, will prioritize, quote, people who are vulnerable or people of significantly decreased independence who reside in CHSLDs, or long-term care homes, about 40,000 people, or in the RIRTF, workers in the healthcare network and social services in contact with patients, people living in RPA or private senior residences, and residents in isolated and remote communities. Additionally, people aged 80 and older, people 70 to 79, people 60 to 69, adults under 60 years of age who have chronic illnesses or a health problem that increases their risk of complications from COVID-19. Adults less than 60 years of age without chronic illness or health problems but who provide essential services, and the rest of the adult population, unquote. The province plans to administer 1.3 million doses by the end of March. However, there is an issue of availability when it comes to the vaccines. Quebec is currently awaiting a delivery of 80,000 additional doses. People can visit the quebec.ca website to find out when their turn is, as well as visit the government website and an online map for information on the vaccine, as well as the rollout plan. So far, there is no actual way to prove you've gotten the vaccination, although government representatives promise that everything is going to plan. Now it's time to see if that is truly the case. Keep in mind, we'll be linking the resources that we mentioned in our show at the end of the show on our resource list.
A recent CTV headline reports that over the past 29 days, Canada has given out enough COVID-19 vaccines to begin immunizing just over 1% of the total population. Specifically, as of last Tuesday, 387,899 vaccinations had been given in Canada. Of course, keep in mind that some of these vaccines are second doses administered weeks apart. But if 1% sounds like not a lot to you, you're correct. If this is the rate the Canadian government is vaccinating people for COVID, it would take 5,800 days to give every Canadian two doses of the vaccine, meaning the final shots would be given in 2036. So the question we want to figure out is, why is the Trudeau government taking their time in the midst of a global health crisis? Trudeau has said repeatedly that his goal is to have vaccines administered to every Canadian who wants them by September, and that between 40 and 50% of Canadian population could be vaccinated by the end of June. However, Canada's vaccine rollout has been lagging behind that of other major Western nations. Even after adjusting for population, the US has been able to vaccinate its citizens at 2.7 times Canada's rate, and the UK has done so and more than four times our rate. The Canadian federal government has deployed almost 500,000 doses of both the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines to distribution sites across the country since mid-December. But the actual rollout of vaccinations is up to the individual provinces and territories. It seems as though the rollout plan in Canada is not just a failure, but that it's non-existent.
It is also important to note that Canada's production capacity, or lack thereof, has played a role in the precarious conditions of securing and administering vaccinations. Around 50 years ago, there were many vaccine producers in Canada. However, as stated by Earl Brown, an infectious disease expert and a former member of the H1N1 vaccine task group in Canada, after the pandemic, quote, the problem was they had a poor business model. These were vaccines companies spun off from universities, so there was indirect funding and that they had a model of not making so much profit, unquote. This inability to produce means the country relies on purchase agreements and as well as other countries for the delivery of vaccines. As Brown argues, quote, it is one thing if we had to give up the ability to domestically make something like laundry detergent. We can all live without laundry detergent. But when it comes to medications and vaccines, those are critical for the health of Canadians, and we should be able to make them ourselves. Not only will the ability to domestically produce them ensure that Canadians get the care that they need, but we can also fulfill our human rights obligations by exporting them at a low cost to low and middle income countries, unquote.
Despite having months to prepare for the deployment of the initial shipment of vaccines to those most threatened by COVID-19 in long-term care facilities, a consistent rollout plan has yet to fully materialize on the ground. Some provinces, like BC and Quebec, as mentioned earlier, have decided to prioritize and distribute vaccines within long-term care facilities as to immunize the most vulnerable populations first. Others, like Ontario, did not initially do this, but are now taking after the BC and Quebec approach 3 weeks after the initial vaccine rollout. To date, fewer than 1,000 long-term care residents have been vaccinated in Ontario. Evidently, there's no set guidelines for vaccine rollout plans, and leaving individual provincial governments to decide what's the best plan for them without expert advice nor experience with a healthcare crisis as such makes a recipe for disaster. We'll discuss Quebec's policies in depth later on in the segment. Some of the differences between provincial vaccination plans include prioritizing long-term care homes, as mentioned earlier, or reserving second doses for those who have already received their first, or proactively opening up vaccine distribution centers or thawing vaccines. The list goes on. Given the complex nature of the pandemic and the multiple vaccines available, it's inevitable that there will be some divergence when it comes to how each premier will handle their province. However, trouble arises when some provinces are excelling in vaccinating their vulnerable populations, whereas others are lagging behind by large margins. With that said, when comparing provinces, we do take into account the difference in population sizes.
Health specialists are recommending the Canadian government to be more flexible in its vaccine plans and to set up strict guidelines so that the rollout plan becomes that of a well-oiled machine. We could make it like the UK and decide to stretch the interval between doses up to 3 months, as opposed to the recommended 3 to 4 weeks. We could also look to Israel, who had made the decision to use up its initial supply of COVID-19 vaccines as quickly as possible in order to vaccinate as many people with the initial doses it has. They now have more than 2 million people set to get a shot by the end of the month, making them the world leader in vaccines administered per population. Though Canada has had more than enough time to prepare a vaccine plan, we started vaccinating a week before Israel, we did not adequately equip ourselves. Now, as we lag behind, promises to speed up mean nothing without tangible actions behind them. Of course, we need to take into account Canada's rural, remote, and underserviced areas, as we are the second largest country in the world. Canada's demographics and geography will make any sort of vaccine plan challenging.
UNFIT is a Montreal-based show, so diving into Quebec's vaccine plan is only natural and applicable for our audience. As mentioned earlier, the Legault government has decided to prioritize and distribute vaccines within long-term care facilities as to immunize the province's most vulnerable populations first. Since the rollout began in December, Quebec has given about 115,000 vaccines to two priority groups, residents in long-term care homes and healthcare employees. Health Minister Christian Dubé says more than half of long-term care residents have now received a first dose of the vaccine. Under the Quebec plan, vaccinations are expected to start in private seniors' residences on January 25th. This is pretty good considering some provinces don't seem to be prioritizing long-term care homes in regards to distribution. However, some parts of the province have since reported that the vaccination efforts have outpaced the speed of vaccination delivery, Global News reports. Parts of Quebec, such as the Gaspé and the James Bay Cree Nation, are almost out of the vaccine. Furthermore, Quebec has yet to give second shots to healthcare workers, as stated by the Montreal Gazette. New deliveries are coming in every few weeks or so. However, it seems like the supply won't match the demand nor Quebec's speedy delivery. The delay has provoked an outcry among residents of the Maisonneuve-des Geriatric Center in Côte-Saint-Luc who have threatened legal action against Quebec. In response to this, the Legault government has announced that Quebec will now wait up to 90 days to administer the second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Dubé announced that, quote, our experts are recommending the second dose be recommended 42 to 90 days after the first, unquote. Keep in mind, Pfizer and Moderna propose intervals of 21 and 28 days, respectively. Canada's Vaccine Advisory Committee has also recommended the second dose of approved COVID-19 vaccines be given in a maximum of 42 days after the first. But Dubé says the committee acknowledges that the interval can be extended when necessary based on the disease's progression. Richard Massey, a senior public health advisor, said the change would allow up to 500,000 seniors who are most at risk of complications, including those in private residences and those aged 80 and up, to receive their vaccines several weeks earlier than initially planned. This will allow Quebec's already fragile healthcare system to bear a lesser brunt of the pandemic in already overcrowded ICUs. Quebec topped 1,500 hospitalizations linked to the pandemic this week. Montreal, which accounts for more than half of those patients, is adding regular and intensive care unit beds, but Dubé says we will see a stabilization of hospitalizations as the vaccine rollout becomes more widespread. Though this reasoning is sound, one can't help but expect some backlash. As Quebecers feel like this extension is more of an experiment than anything else, people are scared that the vaccine may not be effective if the second dose is pushed back so long, which, in our opinion, is a valid concern.
Furthermore, this pushback is not just a concern of Quebecers, but a violation of Canada's Federal Immunization Committee guidelines, which suggest second doses be administered within 42 days of the first. The federal minister in charge of purchasing the vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna reiterated on Tuesday that the manufacturers would prefer jurisdictions to follow their recommended vaccine schedules. In fact, Premier François Legault said Ottawa had informed Quebec of the risk that, quote, a company like Pfizer might stop delivering doses because we're not respecting the period of time between the doses, unquote. However, Quebec continues to have vaccinated the most per capita and still plans to go ahead with their proposed 3 months max second dosage schedule.
Although we have limited control over the decisions of our government, there are still things we can do to place pressure on government officials. A petition is currently going around addressing the Quebec government's flawed policy on administering the COVID-19 vaccine. Quebec is not just justifying its decision of a single dosage and its period of that single dosage before the second dosage is administered with any scientific data. Immunity from the virus cannot be ensured with just one single dosage, putting many people at risk of the virus. Following what has been previously discussed, until we know how effective the vaccine will be and how much time is really required between the first vaccine and the second vaccine, it is necessary that the government establishes the first and second dose of the vaccine in the province and is more clear not only about its entirety of the rollout plan, but also the date of the second dosage. As covered on this show repeatedly, the Quebec government continues to push agendas and create legislation that does not serve its public.
It is important that we sign petitions and hold those in positions of authorities accountable for decisions which affect the population at large. The petition for a call to change the vaccine dosage has already received over 23,000 signatures and only needs 2,000 more, so please go ahead and sign it.
Well, folks, it is time for our resource list. Remember, all these resources can be found in our bio, on our Instagram page. Search for unfit_toprint. So first up, we have the petition that was just mentioned a moment ago. It is titled For Proper COVID Vaccine Dosing in Quebec. Sign this petition and demand that the Quebec government, quote, follow the available scientific data and manufacturers' recommendations, reestablish the appropriate two-dose vaccine schedule, unquote.
Next, we have the Quebec government. It's a link to their website, just an article titled How the COVID-19 Vaccination Works. And as mentioned in the introduction, this is the link for Quebec's information on the progress and the administering of the vaccine.
Also on the Quebec government's page is a COVID-19 vaccine rollout plan graph. And as this was also mentioned in the intro, this is a visual map of the rollout process for the vaccine in Quebec.
Next up, we have the petition for funding towards Montreal frontline workers. This is a GoFundMe to help frontline workers in Montreal who've been overwhelmed and underfunded during the pandemic. The donations from the GoFundMe go towards providing food and supplies for frontline workers.
Lastly, we have another petition, which is a GoFundMe for a Black trans woman in Montreal who has escaped a dangerous environment and is in need of support for moving expenses and funds to support them while finding a trans-friendly employment, which has been made even more difficult, of course, due to COVID. So there's just a link. Feel free to donate there.
All right. Thank you for listening to our segment. We hope you found it informative and interesting. And thank you, Pilar, for joining us for the first time, but not the last. Welcome back to Unfit to Print. We hope you found our audio essay interesting and informative. Up next, we're playing Bahamas with Trick to Happy. Stay tuned.
Behind my back. On second thought, don't tell me that. I don't need to know all the facts, I just need to know. Is there a price for doing well? Should I feel bad 'cause I can't tell? I felt guilty there for a spell, but now I need to know. Am I wasting my time? Ooh. Is there some trick to being happy? Most days I'm feeling like a half me and feel that life is moving. Told you 'cause you asked me. What is the story of the hour? One man's privilege and his power. How it turns sweet love oh so sour. Still I need to know. Am I wasting my time? Ooh. Is there some trick to being happy? Most days I'm feeling like a half me and feel that life is moving past me. Told you 'cause you asked me. And feel that life is moving past me. I only told you 'cause you asked me.
Again, that was Trick to Happy by Bahamas. You're listening to Unfit to Print on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Thanks for tuning in this week for Unfit. Much appreciated. Come back next week at the same time for another show. Playing us out, we have Complicated by Muramasa featuring Neo, followed with Heat Waves by Glass Animals.
It's always about you, countless, fated, into an ocean, blue wine, breaking. Unless we forget all of our regrets, I'm riddled with you. I deeply do exalt you, darling, I do. I shift the main, you compensate, but I can't prepay with love. Never say never, I'm down forever. It's just a shame because there's something about you. Oh, there's something about you. Baby, I really do, really do shit on you. Hey, baby, I really do, really do shit on you. We are so complicated.
dressing, full moons and late nights. And if we accept each other for less, I'm riding with you. I deeply do exhort you, you know that I do. I shift the name, you compensate.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
An episode of Yunga, Olume, January 19, 2021, Amalo, Nepibumotunga Sugeti. ulumi nansi angili tusaksaw lang ayo atat sutil lugo ijo kala tichisumi Mary li aliyak ammalo tusagun na lang ang mayo si ilini akitawun na lang ang mayo si kano isumay kano akitsukun ng mga saiman ng mo taman na nubak juakalo kita kang ningani amalu na kong may pagu TLS nuna bimi ni chao tini ino tito tini na ala katalang ang mayo si so na ala to ina kachi I am Annie Pisuti. Today is January 19, 2021, and welcome to Nipiput. Today we want to lift your spirit and help our listeners cope through this pandemic. Nancy Angelic speaks with stand-up comedian Mary Lee Aleyak. We will also play some guided mindfulness meditation practice.